Amen. Good. All right. Thank you, Byron, and welcome to the Gathering Place. For those of you on the podcast, thank you for tuning in. Just a little bit of trivia information. We run our podcast like it's stored in Amazon's storage facility, and so I can look at the billing every month to see like the prices, and I can figure out about how many people are accessing the podcast on a monthly basis. And it's averaging between 10 and 15 on a monthly basis. So that's whoever goes to the website and clicks on the podcast, like it triggers Amazon, they let me know, and then they send us like a bill for like 9 cents a listen or something. It's really cheap. But so I'm like, oh, all right, so we're getting like 10 people a month chiming in on the podcast. Some of that might be me going back and like listening and taking notes on how I can do sermons better. But I'm not going back 10 times a month, so I know there's other people. So, yes. last week we talked about like the power of thankful remembering. And that how thankful remembering or thankfulness practices have been linked to increased physical health, increased mental health, helping guard against traumatic experiences, drawing closer to the Lord. Like, there's so many benefits. Actually, if you go look at the blog posts on our website from November, there's a ton of stuff on there about the power of thankfulness and the benefits that it has. And so last week we talked about that and gave practical exercises that we can do on an individual level to start working on thankfulness in our lives. And so last week was an individual like focus, and so this week I wanted to do like, technically, it's a year in review, right? Because we're going to look back at what we did in 2019 as a church. More than that, it's a chance for us to look back and remember thankfully the things that we've done for the kingdom and the things that the Lord has done by showing up in that process. So this week, we're going to do that. How did we do this? What I did was, like, I sent out an email to all of our elders, leaders, and ask them some questions to get feedback for all of the ministries. And then based on that, we were able to put it together to see what happened in 2019. So these are the questions that I asked all of our leaders. What is or what are the ministries that you've led or helped at TGP? What were some of the positive God testimonies that occurred? What are some of the specifics we're thankful for in these ministries? What was the average attendance of the ministries? Now, the reason we ask for the attendance is not so that we can like clock numbers. The reason we ask for the attendance is because we can start seeing the scope of who God's touching and how God's touching people. That's what that's for. It's not like David's census back in Kings. And what are your hopes for these ministries in 2020? So those are the questions. And so what I've done is I've gathered all the information the leaders have gotten back to me. And so this is how we're going to go present it. I'm going to mention the leader, mention the ministry, mention what they gave, like what they got to me in terms of the report, and then do a thankfulness prayer for what God's done there and then ask for some increase. So first up, we have Jonathan. Hey, Jonathan. He's listening in over there. So we've got a few things that Jonathan has given me, four. The first one is the TGP ministry team. That continues to work to bless people week by week. So we have a ministry team. You know, when I talk about the prayer ministers coming up, that's a part of the ministry team. And they do stuff throughout the week as well. They don't just do Sunday morning. Like, that's a big part. They do other stuff as well. So in 2019, the ministry team had two training seminars this year. So it's not just, hey, we're just going to get together and just pray for whatever. Like, there's purpose for the ministry team. And so they gathered together to go through training seminars this year. One was a training seminar on praying for physical healing, and one was a training seminar on the best practices for ministering to others. And so those are things that help the prayer ministers grow in that position, grow in those gifts, grow in maximizing impact in people's lives. The other thing he said is that the plan now is to have three new members join us in the first 4 months in 2020. So we're looking to bring on three more people onto the team. So that's the ministry team. And so, dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for the work and the faith and the effort that our ministry teams have done for the kingdom of heaven, for the lives they've touched, for the healings that have been claimed and received, for the provision that's happened, for the guidance, for the words of knowledge, all of that, Lord. We thank you for that, and we pray for more. We pray for increase. We pray for an anointing on these three new people that are going to come in and join the team, that you would give them an increase of measure of faith, seeing things happen as they pray, in Jesus' name. Next thing that he has is a prophetic gathering. So our ministry team, one of the things they do outside of the church is occasionally they'll go out and minister to other like ministries or small groups. About a year or so ago, I was part of one up in Beach Park area, Wadsworth, where we went in as a team, and it was like an evening Bible study ministry, and people came in, and we would pray for them and give words for them. And so that happens on a fairly regular basis. I mean, I think a couple of times a year, and on invite. So if a church invites us to come in, we can assemble a group. And there was a prophetic gathering, that's what we called it, at Agape Church up in Beach Park. Agape Church is where I think where Wayne and Betsy used to go and where Mike used to go. So it's like we have a connection there. And Jonathan said that about 25 people there received ministry from this prophetic gathering, and that there were a lot of reports of people being blessed by the Lord. And then the third thing that Jonathan was helping lead this year was the young adults group that was meeting the first Wednesday of each month. And he co-led that with Sammy. And he said that average attendance was about seven or so. And he had speakers that came in, including his missionary friend, Dennis Melnichuk. Byron and Nancy came and shared one time. For those of you that know Arthur's Drunk, he came in and shared his testimony. And they had others come in. He says that it was a year of good fellowship and a year of seeking the Lord. He also said that, looking at the fruit of it, over the year, interest kind of dwindled, and so the fruit wasn't being as fruitful. And so they decided to kind of fold that avenue up because it didn't seem like the fruit was going to be there. And that's something that we do. If there's no fruit, then we can close an avenue up and seek the Lord for a new avenue. That doesn't mean that we've stopped looking for how to reach people younger than my generation. What it means is that we've stopped that avenue and we're going to seek the Lord for another avenue for the Lord's strategy on that. And so they're going to fold up the Wednesday nights, but with the idea that we're going to seek the Lord for a strategy for how we can reach the younger generations. And then the last thing he mentioned was the establishment of what we've been calling the vision team. And it's a handful of people who get together specifically to seek the Lord for direction and for ideas for TGP, for doing the work of the kingdom. And as a result of the vision team, we had the largest picnic that our church has ever put on, which was a real fun time. We got the bouncy house and everything. So we had this huge picnic. We had the men's retreat that all you men that went on it, that was a fantastic time. There was also the fall banquet that we had. And now there's this push to move and to grow and strengthen TGP, both internally and externally. And so in 2020, there's this expectation to seek God for new directions and new ideas for what to do at the gathering place.
Amen.
So, yes. So, dear Lord, we thank you for all of these areas that Jonathan has reported on. Thank you for your presence being there. Thank you for touching people, drawing people closer to you. Thank you for the fruit, Lord, and thank you for the wisdom to seek your face for new directions in all these areas. And we bless your name in that, Father. And then the next one that I have is the Mikowskis. And the first one they have up for that is corporate intercessory prayer. And the first one is kind of focused on the Sunday morning intercessory prayer. So this is the 8:30 a.m. to 9:30 a.m. And the report is that the Sunday morning has grown in numbers and in intimacy in prayer. And they say that the most regular attenders, and those of you that regularly attend, could testify to the strong sense of the presence, power, and love of God and the leading of the Lord on Sunday mornings. Like, I usually not able to make it because I've got three other people to try to pack into the car, and two of those can't pack themselves. So it's a little bit harder for me to get here on time for something like that. But from what I hear, and even from me getting up here and preaching, like, you can sense what's going on there as it starts spilling over into here. And if you haven't made it there and you come in and you hear some of these share times, you hear a lot of people saying, like this happened when we were praying over there, and this is what the Lord showed us. And so there's a lot going on in that little hour on Sunday mornings where it's setting the stage for the rest of Sunday morning. And along with that, they say that accompanying prayer and worship, we've seen the gifts of prophecy working over there. We've seen words of knowledge and encouragement. And there are some things of teaching that kind of pop up now and then. And they say it's had significant impact on the Sunday mornings. So if you're feeling a move of God here, most likely it started the previous hour. And so there's this move of God, and that prayer lays that foundation for the service and prepares our hearts to anticipate God's doing or God's working. He said, started out like, you know, at 8:30, you know, there might be 8 to 10 people, but as the hour progresses, more and more people end up coming and joining in. And so the expectation in the prayer for 2020 is that there will be an increase in that, and there will be an increase in the power of God and the intimacy with God, and that will spill over into a numeric growth, not because of numbers itself, but because people are being impacted by God and they want to be a part of that and to catch that vision and to help partner in what God's doing on Sunday mornings. So, dear Heavenly Father, thank you for the Sunday morning prayer, and we pray for increase, and we thank you for what you've done, the word you've given, the exhortation, the encouragement you've given to people, the life you've spoken to people through your saints on Sunday mornings. We thank you for that, and we ask for more, Father, that you would increase that in 2020. And then we have the Tuesday night prayer, which started in 2019. So this is there's something going on here every Tuesday night, pretty much. Alternating prayer, alternating study on the return of Jesus, Bride of Christ, right? So the Tuesday night prayer, they say that there's been a consistent attendance of 6 to 8 people, and that keeps a strong move of intercession and intercessory worship. And so we're praying for our nation, our region, our missionaries, and our church. There's often prayer for individuals and missionaries from our church by name. And they say that everybody in the church has been prayed for at least once by name on a Tuesday night, which is really powerful, because who couldn't use more prayer? I mean, like, no matter where you are, if you're in the highest high, lowest low, more prayer is always good. It's really, and it helps us be connected more spiritually. So they've also prayed for the nation's leaders by name on both sides of the political spectrum and both sides of the moral spectrum. Like even people that are like in their worst of the worst still need prayer. They still need a touch from God. They're still made in God's image. And so we can't just like schluff them off as a lost cause. Like, God's redemption is big enough to bring anybody in. And a willingness to pray for that is powerful, and it shows the heart of God. So we've focused some prayers on that. And then there's a sense of God's power moving in prayer and worship that at times can be overwhelming. And so if you want to feel a move of the Lord, like, come to one of these and still your heart before the Lord and get in prayer and invite His presence, and you might be surprised in how He shows up. The Tuesday prayer has been a critical part of the watchman on the walls of our nation. So, like, hearing the heart of the Lord as we pray for the nation, as we pray for the church, as we pray for the region, we can hear the Lord's heart and the Holy Spirit for what to look for, to what to pray for. And that's what a watchman does. Like, in ancient Israel, they would stand on the wall and they would look out to see where we should focus our efforts, where we should put our soldiers. And that's part of this, as we come together to pray, to hear the Lord's heart, to catch that vision on where to put our focus, and then put our focus on that. And so the Tuesday night prayers is a prime time for this to happen, and to put us in tune with the Lord's heart. And we've been given a part of God's move in our nation to draw many people to Him and to stand against and to push back evil. there's a lot of people in the church that are putting a lot of faith in the political arena and then the legal system to try to keep morality upheld. It's really going to take a move of the Holy Spirit. I mean, like, more than anything else, that's the only real power that can change. And so being a part of prayer to stand against the onslaught of evil is something that God has called us as saints to do, so that we bring God's presence in and it pushes out that evil, that pushes out anything that opposes God. And so the prayer time is a wonderful time to partner with other believers in that. And then the expectation is for the Tuesday night prayer to grow in power and intimacy with the Lord as we learn to partner more with Him as we pray. We hear His heart more. We're more in tune with Him. And we can partner with Him with our faith and with our actions in that. A little side note on just a personal reflection. I get baby duty every once in a while. I'm a daddy, so I got to take care of my kids. And, sometimes Shannon just needs a break from taking care of the kids. She just needs a break. So New Year's Eve, we got invited to go to a party, and we're like, yeah, okay, let's go. We got some supplies, to go to this party. And we got to thinking, well, Allura's not feeling the greatest, and there's going to be a bunch of kids there. So maybe she shouldn't go. So what we ended up deciding was that I would stay home with the kids, and she could go out for 4 or 5 hours and just be duty-free. Just be free and enjoy yourself as an adult. And so that freedom gave her a chance to grow. And what it did for me was it put me in tune with the kids, because the longer you're around the kids, you kind of see the ebb and flow of their daily schedule. So you kind of know, like, when they're getting hungry, but they're fussy because they're overtired, and so you're in tune with the needs of your children. And that's what we see here with this prayer movement, is that the more time we're in the presence with the Lord, we're in tune with His heart. What are His wants? What are His desires? And it's just like taking care of our children. When we're in tune, you can tell the difference between a frustrated cry and a hurt cry. There's a distinctive difference. And knowing that, if I was gone at work for 10 hours and then came in and I just heard a baby crying, I might not know, like, what does he need? Does he need a diaper change? Does he need food? Does he need to sleep? I don't know. So it's like, have to go through a checklist until you figure it out. But when you're in tune, like, it's more intuitive, right? It's more natural. Oh, yeah, that's what he needs. So that's what this prayer thing is going to allow us, to put us in an atmosphere more in tune with the Lord, so that we can partner with Him in that. And so, dear Heavenly Father, like, we pray and we thank You for Jerry and Twyla's heart to do this Tuesday night prayer, to host it so that we can all come in the name of Jesus and get into Your presence and to feel Your heart, to know what Your desires are. And so, Lord, I pray for an increase in that. I pray for an increase of desire for people to come to this meeting, for a desire to come and hear Your voice and be in tune with Your heart and partner with You through prayer and through faith for the kingdom of heaven. I thank You for that, Lord. And then the other Tuesday nights, the alternating Tuesdays, are the Return of Jesus series. And Jerry said that they completed the study in Isaiah. That's what started it off, was these 150 verses or chapters on the return of Jesus, starting with Isaiah. And that they learned important aspects about, like, the judgments and the heart of the Father. Because when we think about the judgment of God, we don't think about a Father's heart. We tend to think about an angry God going up against minuscule little sinners. And that's not really what that's about. Like, the Father's heart is still present in, like, His judgments. And understanding that on a deeper level through this study, that He calls people and nations to Himself, and that's always been His heart. And that we've learned why it's important to prepare the church and the nation for Jesus' return. Like, there's that whole, I think it's in Luke, where it talks about two people pushing the mill. One will be taken, one will be left, right? Two sleeping in a bed, one taken, one left. And so there's this preparation part for the return of the Lord, and to get our hearts ready, to be part of that expectation of His coming. And so as they wrapped up the Isaiah study, they started a study on, like, they called it the Bride of Christ. It's more, he says it's more about the bridegroom heart of God. So God's heart as a bridegroom towards the church. Like, what is God's heart toward the church? He reports that many were surprised at how prevalent this characteristic of God is shown throughout Scripture. It's like, okay, so you see it in Revelation, you might see it in Song of Solomon, those are the two biggies, right? But all of a sudden, like, it pops up in Isaiah, and it pops up in Luke, and it pops up in Matthew. You know, like, whoa, wait a minute, this bridegroom thing's pretty consistent throughout. And so it was really, really cool to see those aspects pulled out. And then most importantly, the group ended up being led individually and corporately into an understanding and moving into a deeper intimacy with the Lord. That's back to that attunement, right? That you know His heart, and there's this ebb and flow on a relational aspect and a growing desire to maintain that relationship with God and to encourage others to do the same. And to join with people like John the Baptist as friends of the bridegroom, like as friends of God. You know, because John, when Jesus is talking to the disciples, he's like, you're no longer servants, you're not slaves, you're friends. And my friends know about my business. And so to have that status before the Lord. So the bridegroom study is going to finish in 2020. And the hope and prayer and the expectation for 2020 is to continue with in-depth studies of Scripture on His coming. So to continue looking at this vast thing that we call the Bible and see where Jesus' coming is spoken about all throughout. And so, two more ports, sorry. And it's going to lead up to the book of Revelation. You know, that's kind of like the biggie. Oh, that's where it all comes to fruition. So, dear Heavenly Father, like, we pray that the Tuesday night Bible studies will continue to reveal Your truth about Your second coming. Jesus, that You will show us what Your heart is, what we are to be doing as in partnering with You as we prepare for the second coming, like how to share the gospel, how to share Your love, like how to prepare our own hearts, prepare the hearts of our households. Lord, we pray for Your guidance and Your direction in that, Lord, and that You would give wisdom to Jerry and Twyla and to all those that come on Tuesday nights. Give them insight and direction on how to do that and how to teach others to do that. We pray for a blessing on that in Jesus' name. And then the final area that the Makowskis have given us is an update on the audio-visual ministry, the media ministry that we've been providing for the church. Now, that includes PowerPoints that you see. This picture is like 5 years old. I went online and tried to find as many pictures as I could for this. But it's an example of like this audio-visual aspect of the church that all happens on the back end. Like when everything works right, you don't even realize it's there. You know, speakers that actually work, microphones that don't pop. You know, like that's all part of this ministry to enhance the church. And we've got that now interconnected to the interweb, right, the internet, so that we have podcasts. And that we have, like, soon, we'll get into this, more than podcasts. So there's this interconnectedness with electronics, with audio-visual that facilitates worship, facilitates preaching, that people in the next room over that can't be in here for whatever reason have access to the message because we have a pipeline of the sermon over there. So that's a lot going on the back end we just don't even think about. You know, Jerry's here, what were you, like 7:30 a.m. on Sunday mornings or 8? You know, setting things up, making sure your sound checks are good to go, all that. Yeah, the whole team. So Jerry has here, Jerry's thankfulness for all of our great and faithful helpers. This is the media team, right? So, like, specifically he has mentioned Cal helps out, and Karen Heilberg helps out, and Catherine Sadowski helps out, and Michael Baskin, and Twyla, and there might be more coming up that are going to help out with this. And so, like, Jerry is like, he wants to say thank you to you guys that are helping out with that. And if you guys aren't here this morning and you do listen to the podcast, Jerry says thank you, and we all say thank you for helping make our worship services more streamlined. It's fantastic. So in 2019, we did do some upgrades. Woohoo! Gotta love technology upgrades. Speaker cables. Like, you can have great speakers if you got bad cables. Bad connection, man. So upgrading speaker, it doesn't sound like much, but it's big. Mic stands. Oh, that's a mic stand. We had that weird mic stand that kept, like, falling around and stuff. We couldn't quite get it tightened. This is an upgrade. Squeeze, pull, right? Doesn't that make life a lot easier for those that are you that are 5 foot tall? Right. So, upgrade. It doesn't seem like much, but my goodness, what a difference it makes during share time. Like, half the share time isn't people fiddling with the microphone. Right? Or, does this, you know? Okay, so tip, don't ever do that. That tears up the microphone. this is how you want to tech it. That's how you test, make sure. All right, so that's a little tech tip. And then wireless receiver. We got a new receiver with new microphones. For the longest time, like these little lapel mics, the little clip had broken on the old one, and we had a gold paper clip that we would paper clip on so that we could use it. Well, now it's a black paper clip now, so it's much better. No, it's actually the proper type of clip with the attachments and stuff. And so we've got all this new equipment that we've upgraded in 2019. We also have a new equipment cabinet that is pending installation. So if you have a heart to serve physically with your hands, like, we could use some help doing installation. It'll be under Jerry's guidance, so you don't have to try to remember where all the plugs and stuff go. But if you're interested in that, like, talk to Jerry, and we can set something up for that. So media upgrades. Now, the hopes and expectations in terms of media for 2020, that as TGP grows, we're going to need to expand. We're going to need more media equipment. And especially as we start looking into children's ministry, we're going to have to figure out some media equipment for that. And to figure out how to use our media in the children's ministry for those that are 6 years and over, because, you know, our children's room over here is up to 5 years, but then six and over, like right now they're coloring Jesus pictures in the fellowship hall. And so as we grow, we want to cultivate, like, this environment for them to encounter God in greater levels as well. And we're going to want media to be a part of that. Then we're going to need more volunteers to run that media. So we need people that is either computer savvy or willing to learn computers. You're not going to have to learn how to build a whole program. You just need to learn how to what buttons to push and how to open and close files. But we need volunteers to help as we develop in that direction. So that's a hope and an expectation for 2020. And then to actually research and acquire video recording capability so that we can start doing internet streaming. So that way, it's not just an audio file. You could actually sit down and watch a video of us preaching. And new capabilities for that. And volunteers to help out with that. So, I mean, like as we grow, the needs are going to grow. The equipment's going to grow. The need for volunteers are going to grow, right? And that's all good. That's all good. Yeah, Wayne says servants. So we need people to help serve. So, dear Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you, Lord, that we have microphones that work, Lord, that we can preach your word and put it online where anybody in the world can access it because of technology. Thank you for that. And Lord, as we turn to you to grow our church, both in relationship with you and with salvations, that you continue to provide for us in terms of technology, in terms of servants, manpower to get all this to happen. We thank you for that. Lord, we're reminded of your faithfulness through this last year and how much more we have going now than we did at the beginning of 2019. Thank you for that. We bless your holy name. We bless Jerry and Twyla for all that they've put together in these areas of ministry. And we pray for more vision and more increase in those. In Jesus' name. And then Cal heads up our I-61 ministry, and it's kind of like blended with, somewhat folded with an outside ministry that we hope that we host called Prayer with Friends. It's kind of an inner healing type ministry. It's not counseling. We're very clear about that. It's not counseling. It's praying together in the presence of the Holy Spirit. for the Lord to reveal things and break things off of us. That's what inner healing is. It's not this deep mumbo jumbo stuff. It's Holy Spirit, come, reveal, break off bondages. So Cal reports that there were, in 2019, there were about 20 or 30 spiritual breakthroughs that happened in this church. 20 or 30, I mean, that's a lot. That's like two a month or more, which is pretty good. And he says it's a great contribution to God's work in our lives and those that need breakthrough. So this I-61 prayer with friends, just for you guys to know, is regularly available to us and to anybody that we know that would be open to it for breakthrough sessions. That's what we call them, is they're breakthrough sessions for people that need deliverance and protection. And, you know, maybe there's a pesky sin that we're struggling with that we just can't break free of. And so we can come and get prayer for the Holy Spirit to help bring a break from that. And attitude issues, like the Lord can help us have an attitude adjustment. Just this last year, I didn't do the I-61, but I was having my prayer time and just talking to the Lord. And it was in the midst of a frustration. 2019 was a very frustrating year for me. Amidst all the wonderful joys of bringing Finian into the world, there was a lot of unanswered questions that we needed to get with the Lord. And so I was like in the middle of one of my frustrations, I was like, Lord, I was really frustrated about something in particular. And it was like something like the Lord had this got me putting my hand to, but it's been very frustrating, right? Sometimes that happens. Like he tells you to go do something, you do it, and it's so frustrating. And I was like, Lord, this is so frustrating. Like it's not worth my time. That's a very arrogant thing to say, right? And so I'll admit that right now. It's like, it's not worth my time. And his reply was, that might be true, Todd, but I am. I'm worth your time. Ooh, oh man, that brings tears back to my eyes. Like, that's a slap in the face. That he's basically saying, Todd, you need an attitude adjustment. And that's the kind of breakthrough that can happen when the Holy Spirit comes into a situation. Like, we can get ourselves bound up in the midst of an attitude problem and not even realize it until the Holy Spirit just comes and speaks five words and brings so much understanding to what's going on. And so if that's something that you find struggling with, get a hold of Cal, schedule a session, because there's a lot of freedom that can happen in five words in the Lord's presence. So as for 2020, he says there's no clear expectations as of yet. So as the Lord reveals more to him, like we'll see what the I-61 ministry ends up looking like in 2020. So dear Heavenly Father, like we thank you for your promise of freedom, Lord, that those that are in you can be free, all the bondages can be broken, that they can be restored, that they can be brought to wholeness through you. And thank you for using the I-61 ministry, the Prayer with Friends ministry, to help so many people get that freedom, to get that breakthrough. And Lord, for 2020, we pray for more. We pray for increase. Like we pray that the walls of people's bondages in 2020 can come crumbling down through the power of the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, and so then we have the Wednesday night group. Byron and Nancy got back to me. And then right after this, we'll have Kara come. So Byron and Nancy are saying that on the Wednesday nights that they have a meeting here, there's about 6 to 15 people that show up pretty regularly. And ministry happens to newcomers and to like regular attendees. And they say that the Holy Spirit shows up in unique ways, like ways that you can't imagine and that you can't really fathom. So you come in, like the whole idea on these Wednesday nights is that like there's no agenda set. We just show up, we're going to pray the Lord and let him do something. That's the whole setup for Wednesday nights. And so he shows up, and you can't imagine the way he shows up because you don't really know what to expect when he... So it's like, wow, he shows up, and he's doing it this, and then he's doing that. And so it's really cool. He just shows up and does his own thing, and we're okay with that. So he shows up in these unique ways. And they say that over 2019, that prophetic words have gotten more accurate throughout the sessions. And those words have blessed people. They've blessed regular people, and they've blessed newcomers. You get a visitor that comes, hey, I heard about this cool thing. Great, let's pray. Boom, accurate word. Whoa, you don't even know me, right? Accurate word happens. They get touched. So for 2020, their prayer is that the Holy Spirit is going to move more in that on these Wednesday nights. And in addition to that, that he's going to move, start moving significantly in signs and in wonders and in miracles. And you know, if it's going to start on a Wednesday night, it's eventually going to spill over to a Sunday morning. Like God's like that. It's, you know, that whole like mustard seed parable that Jesus talks about in, I think it's Matthew or Luke, where it's the smallest seed, but you plant it and it becomes the biggest tree in the garden. Well, it, basically what that means is that when that seed gets planted, it's going to push everything else out of the garden. It's just going to flow over into everything. Like, if you wanted to grow carrots in the garden, you don't want a mustard seed. And if you want the presence of God, plant that mustard seed, and he's just going to take over everything. So that's basically what Wednesday night's hoping to be, is that mustard seed of signs, miracles, and wonders. So it just kind of takes over TGP. So that's those are the ones that I have. Now, Kara's got some things, and she said she'd be willing to share that on her own. So Nancy's going to go grab her real quick, and then she'll give these last pieces here. I'm just kind of wondering with the podcast, I just sit here with awkward silence.
Yeah.
You got something, Pat?
I do. I just want to thank all the communion ministers for the last 3 years who have been doing communion on a regular basis. I think we have about eight to ten people who show up every 6 week basis to do communion, and they go in and they set up the elements for communion and also serve it. So I feel this is a very important ministry, because it not only is communion with God, but it's also communion with your the people who are here sharing it. It's communion of the community as well. So I just think it's a very important ministry.
All right, thank you. All right.
So I'm here to share about the children's ministry. We started officially late spring, and we hired two teachers, Allie and Geraldine. And we're currently only offering a class for five and under, but hopefully in the future, we will get a class for the older kids. But right now, it's only for five and under. Our purpose is not only just to provide child care, but also we really want our little ones, even from a young age, to be taught, be ministered to, and to be loved on. And our families to be loved on too. And so we've been really blessed in the two teachers that we hired. They're both unavailable today, but most of the weeks they've been really awesome. They both have early childhood degrees. They both work in nursery child care setting themselves. And so these kids are not only getting, like, to be watched, they're getting a lesson every week, too. It fulfills our vision by these lessons. We've tried to gear them to that they know either about God, but also his presence of God. We did a series over biblical heroes, and then we've done a series over the fruit of the spirits. And then, like I said, every volunteer loves these kids that's in there, We love our parents and our children too. And then we want to develop in them a sense of their power that God gives them. And we've, even though it's the older kids, but we've experienced that in Annabeth and Allie sharing from their heart during sharing time, their what that was given to them prophetically, whether it was a dream that Allie had, or a song that God laid on Annabeth's heart. And so just feeling like, even though it was the younger kids, it fostering that environment even from the young age to sense his power on them, and to be able to minister to us as adults too. And since spring, our average attendance has been about, if you count the older kids, about 10 each Sunday. So, like, which is a lot different than 2 years ago. 2 years ago, 2.5 years ago, I should say, we had Daniel. And then within 2 months, we had 3. And then this year, we've gained 10. 7 of those are of one family, but 2 of them are newborns. So, like, we've and then I guess it's just right at a year, because the other 2 were born like 14 months ago. But one of the blessings I heard back was one of our elders was informed that one of the families was going to leave our church because there wasn't any childcare a year ago, and they felt like their child needed a little bit more structure. And since that time, when we implemented the Sunday school and we got more, the child told his dad he likes coming to church now because he has friends. And so, like, just fostering that, you know, in our kids, that we are a loving and a church that desires for each one to feel the love and the friendship of God. And so now they're pretty regular attenders. And so that's just a blessing that has come out. My hope is, like I said, we besides needing bodies in there, you know, we need a heart for our children too. And we are a patient church, in that if they're running around, you know, as long as they're not hurting themselves, you know, just loving on them and giving them hugs. But my hope is, by the end of this year, we'll have a class for the 6 to 12-year-olds. But we need volunteers before we can do that. And then, on the missionaries, we have 6 or 7 families now that we cover in prayer. Most of them, but not all of them, are financially supported by our church. How does this fulfill our mission? Is that we believe that God and Jesus transcends physical boundaries by our prayers, and our prayers matter. And so, we bless our missionaries by praying for them, but also, like, by getting regular updates, they feel like they're involved and they know we're praying. We're just not a source of finance for them. And so that shows them love and that they're cared for. And And we get to hear of the stories of how God's working throughout the world, and how His power is throughout the world. So we were blessed by visits and talk this year from the Anderson, the Richies, and from Hillary. And I believe all of you guys were blessed when they came and shared from their hearts. And my hopes for this coming year is that we've talked about getting a board up with photos and like where I can just stick the missionary updates, but also I'm going to try every month to get a printout of the prayer request from the from each of them. And then also one of my hopes is that someone else would come alongside me and help with this, with the ministry, because as you well know, I'm a tax accountant, so it gets a little harder sometimes, but.
Thank you, Kara.
I want to let you know, you know, we hired the two workers to be there, and what's our church? Presence, love, and power, right?
PLP.
I try to talk to them briefly every Sunday. And one of them said to me, she said, I really don't have a whole comprehension of this, but I know I don't belong to your church. I'm not in here. But when I walk into this building, I feel the presence and the love of God like I've never felt before. And he says, here I'm working with your children, but I wanted to let you know supernaturally, I am being ministered, even though I'm not part of everything going on here. He said, and that's been one of our prayers, that people would walk into the building. But she declared it without any coaxing on my part. She says, Byron, you got to know something. I walk into this building, I feel Jesus, and I feel the love of God like no place I've ever been. So,
amen. Thank you, Byron. Isn't that a good testimony of just the atmosphere that we create here? Amen. So we got two more that I didn't put on the notes. So Pete actually runs a Bible study. It's going to be this Wednesday night, so I've asked him to come up and share briefly about his Wednesday night for 2019.
Yeah, anyhow, I guess it's been on my heart as a teacher that there's a lot of, the only word I can think of is ignorance in the church of the scripture. Some people I talk to say that they believe the Bible and everything in the Bible, but they don't know what's in the Bible, you know. And, you know, it's in my heart, especially to disciple people. And so far, God has blessed me with that. We have a couple people come to our study that were saved about a year ago, talking about Mimi and Jake. One of them is, the husband is an alcoholic, and he's coming out of it. God's dealing with him. But we also, as a group, are teaching them what the scripture says. I mean, there's a lot of feedback. I mean, if you come to my study, it doesn't mean you're ignorant of the scripture. Now, Wayne and Betsy, they come there, and Wayne knows quite a bit about that. I don't know how much Betsy knows, but she teaches you, right? But anyhow, they add a lot to the study also, you know. So, I mean, people who come, you know, seasoned Christians will add to what I have to say in my teaching and stuff. But I start out with the basics, you know, like the Bible is the Word of God. Why do we consider the Bible the Word of God? You just believe it's the Word of God? just, you know, for no reason. Yeah, oh, I believe it's the Word of God. No, there's Scripture that backs that up. The first popes, Peter, 2 Peter 1:19 talks about it. That no Scripture was ever written down or spoken except by a move of the Holy Spirit. And holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. Paul said in Galatians chapter 1, he says, if anyone preaches to you any other gospel than what we have preached to you, meaning the writers of the New Testament, he says, let him be accursed. He says, even if an angel comes down from heaven and preaches to you any other gospel than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. Too bad Joseph Smith didn't listen to that. Maybe he should have read the Bible more, you know. But anyhow, I'm encouraged that we have this one couple especially, and talking about Robert too. This guy, he never used to go to church, never went to Bible studies. Now he's coming to my Bible study. And I'm very happy and very proud. And he's a good friend of mine too. But I'm very encouraged that I can disciple people from the ground floor and bring them up. And they were Christians for about a year. Nobody discipled them. I don't know. I think that sometimes Christians think, well, I'm going to lead somebody to the Lord, then I'm going to drop them on the floor. You know? I mean, what is that? You lead somebody to the Lord, go to their house every day and bother them like my disciples did. I mean, they were at my house every day knocking on the door. You know? So, anyhow, you know, if you want to contribute or if you want to learn, I think most of the people in here have a pretty good understanding of the Scriptures. Maybe not all, but that's okay. If you don't, you can always learn more, you know? You know, Paul says, forgetting what lies behind, looking forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the mark of the high calling of God, which is in Christ Jesus. All right? And the same thing applies as you are learning the Scripture. Maybe you didn't learn too much about the Scripture before. Maybe you need to learn more. Come on to the study. You know, we'll all teach you. God bless.
Amen. Thank you, Pete. So it's right at noon, so if you have to go get your kids, you can sneak on out if you want. One last group I want to mention as I'm wrapping up is the worship team. Teams. We've got a lot of people. We got the Sanchez, the plural for that. So Casey and Michael. You know, Casey's kind of like the administrator. She's like the worship leader. She sets the schedule, things like that. But then there's Michael, and then there's Fine and Dusty, the Love Days, who've been doing it for a while. And then Twyla does the Sunday mornings over here. Sometimes she does our worship. And then John and Jesse have stepped in a couple of times to help out. And so, like, all of them, they take time and effort to learn songs, to learn the instruments, so that they can lead us into the presence of the Lord. You know, if we didn't have that, years ago we didn't have that, and we would do worship with an iPod. We would plug in an iPod and a little speaker, and that would be our worship set. So whatever was pre-recorded had to be the worship set. Like, there was no move of the Spirit in the midst of that. There was no modifying as we go, feeling the atmosphere, because everything was pre-packaged. You just hit play. And so now we have an opportunity, if the Lord does do something, that there can be this ebb and flow through worship that allows more of a Holy Spirit flow in the process. And so, like we should just, like, be thankful to the Lord for all of our worship leaders and the worship teams that come up here and lead us into the presence of the Lord through songs, through instruments, through prayers. And so, like, we thank you, Lord, for that, and we bless them. And so, Lord, for all of the ministries that we've just talked about that we haven't prayed about yet, we say thank you. Yes and amen. Thank you for the fruit that we've seen. Thank you for the growth that we've experienced, both numerically and, like, in depth. And we pray, Holy Spirit, for more in 2020. Lord, you see with the children's ministry that, like, we're already starting to outgrow the facility that was given to us. Like, we're going to need your provision to build onto this so that we can have room to accommodate all of our needs. And we know you're a God that supplies, and we trust you in that, and we believe you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. So that's our 2019 Thankful Remembering Year in Review of all the things that, we've put our hands to for the kingdom and all the things that the Lord has shown up for. And so we're going to look forward to more of the Lord's doings in 2020 and just see what he does. Next week, Byron's going to share something out of Exodus. I think it's Exodus. And then after that, we're going to actually start a series on the book of Joshua. And the running theme we're going to be looking for is like partnering with God's provision. Because Israel, in the book of Joshua, is all about taking the land. It's all about building on what God has provided. And so we're seeking the Lord for a 5,000 square foot sanctuary back here. We need the Lord's provision on that. How can we partner with the Lord on that provision? He's provided this building. He can provide in addition to it. What's our part to play in that? And so we're going to look at the book of Joshua with that in mind as we go through the next quarter for the series. So I'm going to wrap us up in prayer. If our prayer team wants to come up here, if you guys need prayer for anything, come on up. We'd love to partner with you to come into the Lord's presence to see what he does. So dear Heavenly Father, thank you for a powerful 2019. Thank you for your provision and your love. Lord, thank you for helping us create this environment for your presence, your love, and your power. Help us do more. Holy Spirit, we invite you to reign on this property, that your will go forth, that your power will pour out, and that your saints will draw closer to you, and that those that don't know you will be drawn. Lord Jesus, as you said, if you be lifted up, you will draw all men unto you. Let us lift up your name so that you may draw people unto you. We bless you with that, Father, and we put our hearts toward you for 2020 and ask your will be done, your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. In Jesus' name, amen. So God bless you guys. Have a great week. Happy New Year.